Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your host, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia.
Yay.
With David Tucros and Katie Singing Eagle.
Hey.
Today's Dress Up Monday. I'm my Mario hat on. Katie's got her bandana head, mm-hmm. and David's got his glasses
shaking
on.
Shaking and rattling.
Rattling, rolling.
It could be an interesting show.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
I think it can.
I've been up since 2:15 in the morning.
Yeah, that's what you said. I saw that on your Facebook. I was like, what the heck's that all about?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I just wake up and it's like, I know I'm not going to get back to sleep because there's something rolling around in my head or spirits kind of moving in my, you know, my head, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get up and walk the dogs. They mm-hmm. like it because they like to go out like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Smell all the animal sounds and be creeping around. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We see some things too sometimes that you wouldn't see in the daytime, you know.
Right, right.
So
especially
at
that way.
It's a very interesting time of night, you know. And then I just I'll sit up and I'll write or I'll, you know,
yeah,
because I know something's moving inside me that needs to be processed or, you know, expressed. So. And it's almost like taking a little mini vision quest, you know, because
yeah.
you sleep deprived a little bit. You,
mm-hmm.
you push the envelope sometimes, you know, and gives your mind a chance to kind of reboot once in a while. So anyway,
very
that's
good.
What's been going on with me. So I
can see it in your eyes.
You never know what could come out of my mouth.
You get that look in your eyes. You get that look like you're someone better not walk, Bella better move, or someone better not come across you. So how about you, Katie? How are you?
Pretty good. I've been up since about 6,
yeah.
6 this morning. Just popped up, and then I was up ever since. So, got up and started mm-hmm. getting some things done. Things rattling around in my head. I needed to put on paper
mm-hmm.
ideas and stuff. And then I sent you all some messages about it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, I kind of been up since 8. Didn't really go back to sleep. Took a little power nap.
Yeah.
Earlier, because I was just kind of like out and about working with my dad a little bit, and then came home and then I woke up and waited for you guys and. Get ready for the show.
Yeah, I took a power nap too, but I was at work, so they didn't like it. Hey, wake up!
The phone's ringing.
It's good to be here. We haven't been in the studio for a little while, so
yeah, we kind of been doing our own little places
on the phone,
on the phones
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
It's always nice to see your faces, and that way we can cue in and cue out.
Yeah,
it
connects better.
It's always fun. It's always fun to do. It's not always convenient, but you know when it is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Seems like a lot of stuff is starting to gel and come together. You know, it's almost like we're reaching a different level, you know, I think, than we were before. I mean, it was cool. We were doing all of our things, and sometimes we collaborate on things, but I think
mm-hmm.
that's it's kicked up a notch now, or starting to. For all of us, seems like Spirit's broadening our horizons and bringing new opportunities and new people in. And, you know, taking it to the next level. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, you make a good point there. You know, for years we were just kind of doing our own things and kind of putting our foot in the water.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's too cold.
Yeah. Now our whole foot's in the water.
Yeah.
Now we're at our knees. I think it's going to our waist now. We're just going.
I don't think it's just us, too. I think general people are starting to reach out more, you know, in that realm and want more and also give more of themselves too.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching on Facebook, some of our friends are saying, well, you know, I feel led to offer this, or you know, to reach out more with healing and you know, and bring this into that. And so you know, it is a very collaborative time we're in, and one where we're kind of, it's like when you have little rivulets of water that join together to make a river, you know, it's kind of like those
mm-hmm.
we're all those joining together in the same river. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a little poetic now, but hey.
Yeah, well, that's good. You have your own book of poems by David.
Yeah, we need each other to connect with energies and help each other along the way, because just like this week on Thursday, I'm going to be helping with the marriage counseling situation and doing a ceremony. mm-hmm. in that area to bring a husband and wife that are kind of thinking about separating, or what is their next course, or what are they're asking Spirit, what is their next step, either to separate, stay together. Kids are almost grown. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing their own thing. So mm-hmm. I'm going to help out with that situation and see how it goes. Hopefully, Spirit will speak and let them know what to do, which Spirit usually does speak. And I'll say, hopefully, Spirit will speak, but Spirit usually does speak mm-hmm. and give insight into what needs to happen. So we'll see what goes on with that.
That's good to see, you know, that people are seeking that kind of counsel,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, the marriage traditional marriage counselor with a psychologist or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, but actually reaching out in a spiritual way to and opening themselves up to whatever there is the greater good
right.
know, for that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can superimpose their faces on pornos and show them what it would look like to have sex with somebody else.
Now, we were getting all like that. You know, love and life and spiritual.
This is your new life, and this is what.
Hey, whatever works.
No. But now you're. I mean, no jokes aside. Yeah. You know how I am. I like to throw some weird shit in there sometimes. but anyhow, no. But I do believe that people are actually being tested right now. You know, they're being tested. You know, with their spirituality. They're being tested with their family situations. You know, times have always been times. You know, people have always had problems. There's always been marriage issues, since people got married or dated or having babies. You know, so. It's nothing new. We just feel it more. We see it more because, you know, it's bombarded on TV. It, you know, you hear it on the radio. You see it in the magazines. Kids learn. Today, the kids are very different. They're, you know, I think they're very intuitive and they're very much more connected to spirit than, you know, I hate to say it, than we are sometimes.
And yeah.
You know, than their parents. And because, you know, it's a good example is putting kids on medication. I know we're changing topics here a little bit, but. You know, sometimes we want to mask something that we don't understand and suppress it because we don't understand it. And
right.
We don't want to put up with it or have to deal with it.
If there was a time when you had a rambunctious kid and you just told him to go outside and play, go
mm-hmm.
find something, you know, go find a creek, go explore it, go play, go run it off with your friends, play some basketball,
mm-hmm.
you know, baseball, go do something, ride your bike around the neighborhood, run off that extra energy. Now they just give them a pill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, or give them a label, and that's what they stick with. Oh, I'm ADHD, and I'm this and that. And they grow into that. You know, you become what you're told you are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a chemical imbalance,
yeah.
you know. I mean, I'm not denying it. But, you know, truly, no one really truly knows what the side effects of these medications are, or if they even help, you know. They do test with the placebo, you know, type medicines, and just a sugar pill. And has almost the same effect, you know. I mean, our oldest boy was on Ritalin, and then when they put him on Concerta, and you know, yeah, he calmed him down and he was relaxed. But you know what? He was not my son. He was completely
right.
somebody else. And,
yeah.
You know.
You know, we're put in this world to be ourselves, you know. And there's a lot. That's a broad range of behaviors there, you know. And just because you don't fit within the scope of what society says is
mm-hmm.
normal, you know. And they drug you, or they psychologically
yeah.
you know, manipulate you to be that normal. It's damaging to you because you're not living out your purpose here. You know?
And it's an old system, trying to grab onto this new energy, and it doesn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to make it is to zombify it and make
right.
it into something that you know is you know.
Yeah. Nope, there's a nail
related.
Sticking up. Here comes the hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some kids talk. I talked to a few days ago. They were talking about the zombie apocalypse, and I said, "There's no zombie apocalypse, but who knows? All this medication going around and whatnot." I remember one time I was on 8 prescribed medications a day, and I had to take them 2 or 3 times a day, and I felt like a zombie. So I had to find ways of getting myself off of those medications,
mm-hmm.
despite my doctor's advice. And I said, "I can't live like."
Mm-hmm.
I can't go around being numb all the time. I have to feel what I'm feeling and
right.
do what I'm doing. And if I need to yell at the top of my lungs about something, then I need to do that. So
mm-hmm.
I had to find my faith and using my faith and different natural means of getting myself off of those medications because I had bipolar disorder and some depression. disorder. Mm-hmm. So, and now I don't really suffer from that. I'll feel the little twinges or different things coming on, but I know how to counteract it now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way of doing it without taking a bunch of prescribed medications a day.
Yeah, we're not here to discount, you know, that what's going on in someone's mind isn't real.
Right.
Because that's not the point of it. I just, you know, I was talking to a group of people I work with at the All Life Center. Their daughter, they had to take her to the hospital there because she had a hernia. And, you know, she said at first it was really cool because the hospital was pretty and stuff. But then, you know, she started to realize that this hospital is extremely big, you know, big hospital for kids. You know, it's one of the biggest hospitals in the world for children. It's a children's hospital here in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, you know what, and that's funny you mention that because I've said this in the past. Why do we have such a huge hospital for kids? You know, I can understand if we had a hospital big for adults who are sick and aging and dying, but kids should not be sick like they are today. They should not be going through this, you know, diabetes. They shouldn't be going through these adult ailments. You know, it's really scary.
Yeah.
All the cancers and stuff that are upon kids now, you never heard of such years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's all the process and neurotoxins and different things that are in the food and the GMOs and the sugars and the corn syrup and all the dyes and processed foods. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I believe it is. It's the diet.
Well, there's also a lot of stress that kids go through now that they're born into it almost, you know, that they didn't have before. Yeah, I mean, life on the farm, you have to get up and do your thing, but I mean, there's all kinds of psychological stresses and pressures from the things that they know that they have to, one, keep themselves, and also just being sensitive nowadays. You know, there's so much information that comes in that, you know, from across the world, it looks so bleak and bad, and, you know, it all adds up. It's all a big, you know, a combination of things that works together. So, and like I was saying to Hammer earlier, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When you're a doctor, everything looks like a patient. Everyone looks like a patient.
Right.
When you build a big prison, you want to fill it up, you know.
Right.
We manifest what we expect, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's funny you say manifestation because that's a purpose manifestation. They need that to work. And they need that to happen.
Sure.
You know, that has to occur.
What's the idea of success? Is, oh, you want to grow up to be a doctor? Well, doctors need patients.
That's right. You know? So I mean, somebody has to grow up to be sick.
Yeah.
Or become sick, or made
sick,
or seen as sick.
Well, speaking of kids, getting back to that. We had the chance to work with some remarkable kids, you know, out of the grieving camp in Marmon Valley Farms. We did that last year, and Katie joined us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a project going on. I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Which one with the...
The drums.
Oh, the drums. Yeah, like you said, last year we were invited there. Actually, it was by chance, actually. It was one of those things. Someone else was asked to conduct it, and then they asked me to come help. And then... She ended up getting pregnant with one of her first kids, and so she couldn't do it. She wasn't feeling well, so I took on the project, and then you came along. You helped me. I asked you. It was kind of a short notice thing, and then, you know, that year we kind of drummed. We taught the kids. We were kind of more of a...
Kind of feeling our way out.
Yeah, because, you know, every year, I'm sure it's going to be different, and then this year we asked Katie to join us just because of the sheer fact that these kids can actually, even though they're grieving, they're still kids. You know, they still do the kid stuff, and they'll still, you know, test you and push those buttons. But this year wasn't so bad because we had a lot of help this year, more than.
Yes.
I mean, there was a big group of these kids.
We were pretty much on our own last time. They come with the kids, but, you know, and talking about grieving too. You know, when I first heard that it was going to be a camp for grieving kids who've lost a significant loved one, you know, or provider, caregiver, I thought there'd be tears shed, or, you know, there'd be some real, you know, heavy moments. And our experience with that first year was that these kids were just. Looking for some, you know, some fun or something interesting, something new. They were just the curious kids you would normally expect. But in our meeting this year, we had a pre-meeting for that, and it was explained that kids grieve in stages. You know, that they'll go through some grief, and then they'll get back to normal kid stuff, and then they'll process that, and then they'll go into another grieving stage. Whereas adults are like, they do it all at once, and then they move out of it.
Right.
You know? So maybe it was my only expectation that really caused that.
Yeah, and, you know, they really wanted the drumming to be part of this camp just because they know that drumming is a bonding tool. It's a way to express frustration. It's a way to express emotions and, you know, all the whole gamut. And this year we actually made drums. Last year we didn't. They pre-made them for us. They took, the strainers, like spaghetti strainers, and then they put clear tape on them, like I showed them in the meeting. And then the kids got to design them. And then once they designed them and they got to put little pictures on them and little colored tape on it, then they...
Right on.
Yeah. So it was really cool. They actually got to have an interactive session, so it was their drum.
Yeah.
And boy, when they were taking their drums at the end, you know, I was watching this at the end, they were really careful about putting them inside their little bags and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But this year's kids were... This group was a lot different than last year's. This group was really... You could tell that they were really in their head thinking about what happened.
Right. You know, like you said, the drum breaks things up inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Blockages, resistances, you know. So they were processing, and it's powerful. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that they took that experience with them, and, it helped them along the way, you know, to work with that.
Yeah, and, through the instruction, I could tell that they weren't all present. You know, personally, there was a few, you know, there was one little boy who was there a year before, but he was kind of, like, knew the ropes a little bit. So he... But a lot of the new kids, I could tell that they were really going through some stuff, you know, because a lot of the stuff happened was very fresh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that the other weren't, but I could tell that they were really in and out to the point where, I could tell that we were drumming with them. They were having fun. They were having a good time. Their parents were having a good time. But I could tell that some kids, we were losing them, you know, and the kids that they warned us about were actually more with us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
than...
They've been through more, and they, you know... Yeah.
They warned us about certain kids that we were going to maybe have issues with them. We didn't have no issues.
No,
not at all.
It was just exactly as the spirit planned, you know.
I think they all pretty much enjoyed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we sat around and we started drumming together, then you can see they were drumming hard and soft. And most people drum, or most of the kids drummed what their feelings were.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, because a drum is something you can either be hard or soft or kind of medium to whatever is going on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of, I was kind of looking around at some of them while I was playing, and I could see what they were going through, and then I could kind of say like a silent prayer on the inside or set my intentions
mm-hmm.
while playing to go out, the vibes to go out to those that needed some help and healing.
And you sang just enough too. That, you know, people like, you know, I got a lot of good compliments about you singing.
Soft,
you know,
and gentle.
Soft,
just,
yeah.
You know, just enough. It's a very special moment. And then after that, I mean, our divine appointments continued, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
A woman approached us as we were putting, kind of settling down. We got the drum and approached Katie and I and started asking. She said, I just wanted to talk to you for a minute and ask what this is all about. What are you about? Are you a Native American organization? Is it tribal? And I explained about the Nemenhan, about our work that we do, and as ministers and as traveling healers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she connected with Katie, so I just stepped mm-hmm. back, and you two had quite a conversation.
Yeah, she had more questions about spirituality and trying to find her spiritual path, and I told her I shared with her about being a universal type minister of different religions. So, and just a little bit on just a general overview about her finding what fits and works for her as an individual, not any particular religion, but
mm-hmm.
in connecting and having a personal relationship with God, the universe, whatever you want to call him. Just like I told her, I said, even one lady I knew that I counseled a long time ago said Bob. She liked to call God Bob. So I said, whatever connects with you, that your path will be shown to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way you're supposed to worship as an individual will be shown to you. It'll be like a light bulb going off one day, and you'll feel at home within yourself when you find that particular religion, spirituality, or path that is right for you to connect with spirit.
Praise God.
You know, it's funny, she just said Bob. I just thought about Bob Cliff.
Yeah, me too.
Standing at... Did you think that?
Yeah.
Him standing at the Serpent Mountain. You know? Well, you know, God works through people, you know. So
absolutely, and I know God's
works
through Bob.
Or Bob works through Bob, you know.
Yeah, right. Bob works through Bob. Big
so,
Bob, little Bob.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then also, as we were, we stayed around. We were going to stay for lunch, and so we had some time. And as we was it before or after we went that lady approached us and said, "Oh, also we have another opportunity."
Before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
as we were going to the Chow House, she came and asked us to get contact with her because Ohio Health or Mount Carmel wanted to do something. They wanted to kind of like know what we were doing and other avenues we could help out.
Evergreen Northwestern.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's a good opportunity, and we'll see what happens with that. I don't know what they want us to do, but, you know.
Yeah, we're open. We're
open.
We're servants.
We can always say no if it doesn't fit into our belief or direct them to somebody who does.
And so that was a nice part of the Saturday.
Yeah, I had never met her.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was there last year or not, but that's the first time I got to see meet Myra. Myra was there. I met both Renee's and Shirley. They were there last year.
I think next year we should spend the night. Well, I think they even talked about having us do a drum circle on opening.
Yeah.
Like just the.
I'd love to ride the horses too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always like, when I do these. When I do this camp, I'm always like a little nervous, you know. I come from a humorous point, a humorous background, so I'm already mindful, you know, what I say or what I'm doing, and because you just never know, you know, and it's kind of like a challenge for me too, to you know, to sit back and just go, you know, and observe versus just trying to be in the center, you know, showing my gifts versus, you know, and taking my gifts and sharing them in a different way.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure in a regular camp you can joke around, mess around, but this camp is, I don't know, I don't want to say you can't, but it's just...
It's still feeling our way.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things. I'm very respectful of their project and what they're doing with helping these young youth and the adults who go with it, their kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's one aspect that I didn't quite understand last year, but I do now after they explained to me that actually the camp is for the kids, but it's really about the adults. You know, I mean, and I understand now, and I get what was going on, what was happening, because they're the biggest support that these kids will need, and they need each other. They'll need each other.
Mm-hmm. And adults can kind of tend to stuff their own feelings for the sake of the children. So.
And they gave examples, you know, when the little kid was, you know, stuffing the couch, you know, with pillows and stuff, and they called, say, hey, something's wrong with my kid. No, there's nothing wrong with your kid. You know, he's just processing, remember?
Yeah, that was the one where the little girl was... took her dad's clothes. And this was only like 3 or 4 days after he had passed away, and laid his clothes out on the couch, and then took a pillow and put it in where the head would be. And her mom asked, "What are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm just making daddy." You know.
Yeah, and this is 2 years after she'd been at the camp. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they said they don't know when it all happened.
Right.
Sometimes these kids hold it in. Yeah. Some kids are really open too. They're pretty blunt what happened to their parents. I'm not going to mention it here, but you know, they were really. I was really like. You know, because I was just like,
that's true. I guess that's part of the process.
And, you know, sometimes you have to voice that. You know, I was just like, wow, that's powerful. But, I mean, that you can actually say that, you know. But, you know, it was good. You know, we were passing that little football around. You know, it was just like, there's divine moments when you can say things, you know. That's when I threw my joke in there, you know. I'm 100 years old. Made everybody laugh. Broke the ice a little bit.
Yeah. Humor has a healing effect, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I know I had some of them look at me when I told them that my mom had just passed away last June.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it is, because one child before that spoke before me had just lost her mother. And then I spoke and I said, I just lost my mother too.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of saw that I understood that point of losing a mom, because mine left her body last June 28th. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming up on the anniversary of that sometime soon.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's bad.
You've had friends who've lost children, who've lost parents, who've lost, you know, spouses.
Yeah.
Fortunately, both my parents are still alive. But you never really know what you're going to feel until that moment comes.
It's true.
True.
Try to prepare for it mentally and think, oh, this is might be what it feels like, but it's unique for every person. So.
Yeah, and just to give a little shout-out, Marmon Valley Farms is actually celebrating their 50 years serving the community.
And your wife's?
Yeah, my wife. She used to go there and work there. She used to be a volunteer there, and they'd go to church there from time to time. And, you know, they remembered Don and Mary more than they remembered Susie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cute, though. At least, you know, you remember the people who impact your life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place for anyone to visit. Right up there off the exit where Bell Fountain is on, 33?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's off 33. It's off the exit for Mad River. Mad River. Yeah, it could be magic sometimes.
Mad River Mountain, off of 33 here in Ohio.
We had fun with the animals too. That's who.
Yeah. We always engage them first.
Adventure horses and the donkeys.
The burrito, yeah.
Yeah, and feeding them. They were trained to knock and to say, "I want some of that corn or that food."
I'm not taking this. You're giving me tests. I don't want, I want the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
They wanted that feed out of that little machine, and it took quarters, and I think I had three quarters. I got three quarters worth, but then they were keep knocking, we want some more, and I'm like, hey, I'm out of quarters.
Yeah.
So.
Bring a whole roll next time.
That's funny. You got a little thing going on down there. Okay? A little,
yeah.
The llama, he was checking us out, too. Every time we get a little close, he'd be chewing, then he'd stop.
He looks outside of his eye.
You're a little too close, buddy. We walk
That's
away
right.
and start going.
We heard about him.
He's getting that chaw already.
Bless
me, llama.
Llama.
Open your mouth. No.
Ew. No, that's gross.
Chewing tobacco in your mouth. That's not what it's like.
But the llama, most of the animals were at peace. They were really peaceful animals, really nice animals.
I like the donkey. He was cool.
Yeah, and animals help them heal too. I mean, mm-hmm. From the bunnies, the turtles,
It helped me.
Yeah.
Because I could actually put voice to their interaction. When the guy was petting him, and he just looked at him like that. What are you doing, man? Why are you touching me? I didn't tell you can touch me. There's little things like that.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's cracking me up.
Yeah, just part of our whole summer seems to be much fuller this year, you know.
We're not even summer yet.
That's not even really summer, yeah. So we
haven't
even solstice yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool. I mean, we've done so much. I think we've done more this in the matter of 6 months than we've done in any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone to places, but...
It's momentum. I think we've created momentum and we'll just keep going.
Yeah.
We got the 1,000 drummers coming up in July.
Mm-hmm.
We got, solstice coming up. There's a lot of things we can branch out on, and
mm-hmm.
we can also collaborate on, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Shaman Watts coming up through Rocky Hills. That's kind of become our new area of spiritual exploration.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just for our Ohio people or so, I'm planning a retreat. So we'll have a retreat coming up by the end of summer, early fall, hopefully.
Do we have a location for it yet?
No, I'm going to see some locations. It's in the planning stage. I've been brainstorming and writing things down and the things we need. And maybe some things we'll do within a 3-day period, like from maybe a Friday evening to a Sunday late afternoon. So that'll give people time to... And then if someone wants the whole weekend, they can do the whole weekend. Or if they just want to do some part of the weekend, I'm going to have a suggested donation amount for partial or full or whatever they want to be a part of. So that'll be coming up. I'll have that. I'll put an event on the Facebook page, and we'll mention it over here on with Insight Radio. But I'll be collaborating with my partners before, you all my partners, before all this is finalized.
We are the partners, my friend.
Rock solid.
The Shamoons.
The Shamoons. Yeah, in concert, the Shamoons.
That's right. No, it's good.
And so stay tuned.
That's
because
how happens.
A suggested donation, it's a way to kind of bring an energy exchange, and there should be an energy exchange of some kind. That's how the universe works, But I think it was Lori that brought this up. She was talking about somebody who was connected with the metaphysical community in Florida. She said everything's a fee down there. You pay for everything. There's nothing given away. You pay $15 for this, $20, $15. So that's a straight out charge,
mm-hmm.
With our donation it's more from the heart, it's more from what do you feel you should exchange for what you're going to get out of this, or I only bring that up because I think a lot of folks are of the mind, or have that kind of in the back of their mind that, well, it's spiritual, it shouldn't involve money, it shouldn't be about anyone giving actual money for that,
Midwesterners are like that, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why, we're so willing to exchange, a $3.50 or $3.75 for a gallon of gas,
Yeah.
But it takes us gas. It takes us electricity.
Yes.
It takes us renting a place
mm-hmm.
or getting a facility. It takes money to
absolutely.
Do these
live in
things,
this world, yeah.
To buy food, to have massage tables, to do things. So it takes money. So when we do have a suggested donation, that would cover, that basically will cover, what do you call it, when you break even, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So anything pretty much above that suggested donation will help us in other ways to do more things.
Right.
So we even, I think Iggy has a donation button on his website.
Yeah, you can add it.
I have a PayPal.
I have a PayPal.
I don't know if David has anything on.
I'm pretty set up to get one. You know,
it's not hard.
Account.
It's easy.
You
know,
because when people give us donations, that helps us do our work with gas and
you're right.
And travel and those kind of expenses that go forth. My PayPal is connected to my Yahoo account. Anybody that asks me over Facebook or whatever, I can give it to them. So if they want to give a donation, Iggy has his, David will have his. We're going to set up a one for our whole, for our group, so that we can have an account for our group, so that when we do things as a whole group, we can have money to give to others, as well as go on trips and do other things with.
Right.
And we like to give it to our greater association and to those in need that may need, you know, an extra buck here or there.
Yeah,
because there's the
don't want to feel like they can contribute, you know, anything to it, like a scholarship.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, if we don't support ourselves, this spiritual work won't grow. It's
mm-hmm.
going to always be kind of a on the side, hidden in the shadows, or you know, something you can do, you know, in your mm-hmm. spare time, you know. If life's too important, it's passing us by, these times are too important for us to just do it part-time and spare time. We need full-time involvement now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's become to the point where we need our full-time effort put into it, you know. I sit at my job, you know, yes, I make a certain amount of money per hour, and yes, I pay the bills with it, but it doesn't fulfill me. It doesn't spiritually you know, give me what I'm looking for and what I want to give. You know,
right.
It doesn't resonate in that way. So there I am, you know, there's 9 hours a day, plus the back and forth to work and the gas that's spent in that. You know, life is time, you know, and we give our time to what we hopefully, you know, love. And I'm all about spirit, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and I work at the Old Life Center from time to time, and, you know, we just had this conversation about donations and how that works. One of our friends, Maggie, you know, mentioned that there's a place near Supermel where they charge, I think, like for sessions for like a package or whatever, like $1,000, you know, and they don't give scholarships. Absolutely not. If you can afford it, you go. If you can't, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the All Life Center has created a system where they're trying to involve, get everybody to come who can afford, you know, something, because in the spirit, you know, there's abundance, you know, when you have more people involved. That's why for them, they're trying to create this big, huge network of practitioners. Not that they're all going to use the space, but they can all, you know, co-op together and work together. And see, they advertise for you. They advertise your events to all their mailing list and to the other practitioners, which is, that was a plus. I thought that was important, you know, connecting myself with other practitioners. Kind of like what we're doing, you know, we're involved with the Memonhal. You know, we're trying to work together and get involved that way. But, you know, the All Life Center has, you know, we've been talking about a center, and that's a good place for a base to have. We're actually going to have satellite All Life Centers around town.
Oh, okay.
Since
okay.
people can't travel to the big one, so I think there's going to be one in Gahanna. They're going to have one in Gahanna. So it's just a matter of talking and working, and when you find out that you actually have very much similar or different ideas, and, you know, similar ideas or different ideas too, you come together and you collaborate, and that's important, because our community has actually been based on, these are my customers, these are my patients.
Yeah, your competition.
You can't touch them. But, you know, in the real world, if you're a massage therapist or a shaman, I mean, you take them so far. They may need a chiropractor, you know, so you send them to your friend the chiropractor. If they come back, they don't come back, well, you know what, it's not important.
You're not going to run out of people who need
no,
healing.
No, absolutely not.
No.
You never run out of people. It's like saying you're going to run out of McDonald's. And they're going to say, you know, they wouldn't be in business if they knew there weren't going to be people. You know, they know they're going to have customers. They're going to have a new person. Someone doesn't come back. Same with our holistic community. You know, there's people who outgrow people. You know, there's people who need to have someone different to work with. And that's important. You know, they're like, we've had this conversation. There's people that you'll touch, and I'll touch, and people that we'll never even be able to break or get involved with, because they're just in a different place.
Right. Like,
they don't resonate with us.
Yeah.
Just like I do some massage, but I usually do the head, the forehead, and I can do the shoulders and work with that and the energies there, and maybe a little on the spine. I can tell where people are hurting along their spine. But my hands will not do deep tissue massage because I don't have that strength and ability in my hands to do that. But I know practitioners that can do that deep tissue, massage to where they, it hurts so good, you're like screaming, but it's, I'm sorry, when I get a deep tissue massage, I make noises like...
That's
like
coming out. That was from when you were 12.
Just like
you
that.
Know.
Just like that, right?
You know, pleasurable sounds that are, pain and pleasure together, Yeah.
That is my foot.
I love a deep tissue massage, which I do have a gift certificate for that I need to use. But I know several deep tissue, some therapists that do deep tissue massage. And I like to refer them, people to them every so often.
Yeah.
Just like I know people, I do Reiki, but there's some people that do Reiki better than me. There's some deep masters that I know that I can send people to get Reiki or cranial sacral or whatever they need that I don't do.
Right, now, we can't be all, we're like a Swiss Army knife, we can't be everything in one package.
Right.
I mean, we can have tools, but use some energy, some shamanic work, some, ceremony, this and that. But, we need to link up more. We can get so much more done if we share our resources and we share the load,
Right.
The hurting out there. So.
I mean, and the thing is, practitioners are hurting, too. That's what a lot of people don't realize. The guy who's giving you a massage, he goes and gets a massage most of the time. It's just like the guy who works in a restaurant, or the cobbler, making shoes. His kids have no shoes because he's so busy making everyone's shoes, So, that's one thing that I've been trying to, create over the years, that even the practitioners, need some place to go. But we're so critical sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't do it like I do.
Your angel guide is the same as mine.
It's my, your angel guide. No, Metatron's 2 inches tall. But it's, that's fun. That's the human aspect of us, even healers, everybody, and I know you've run into them, I know I run into them, where someone always thinks, no, it's this way.
Right.
It's this way. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is that way for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our different techniques. Speciality.
Yeah.
My kind of gauge for that, for if somebody's really spirit-led, is that they won't talk about themselves as much as they will, about you or about spirit in general, they're less ego-led than they are spirit-led. So, I kind of just keep my radar up about that.
Yeah, and that's probably why you see them a lot. They're everywhere.
Right.
When you notice them, because it is spirit-led. When people talk about what we do, and I've heard this from you, and I've heard people talk about us and stuff. They're like, you guys are everywhere. You guys are doing everything. But that's the. That's in their mind. They know we're in action. We're doing it. We're not like this part time. We'll rattle you. Or drum
you. Yeah, but you've got to do it within this boundaries
right.
of this place and this time. No, we're everywhere.
We travel.
You can't put the gifts and the things of spirit in a box. Spirit is infinite.
I can. I sell it for $4.99 online.
Omnipotent, infinite. You can't. Put it and package it in a nice little package with a bow in a box. I went through that with churches over the years,
right.
And you just can't. It's just like I had to break free. It's just like I want to run yelling and screaming with my arms ranting because I can't be held in a box any longer. I had to get out.
Yep, that's an effort to control, and man is often all about control, but you can't control that.
Yeah.
And the more that my eyes become open, I take labels off things, and I break barriers down, and I see that there's just this big river of spirit running through everything. It may have a different flavor over here, it may have a different look over here, but it's the same energy force, And people fight over it, or they try to possess it, or think it's theirs and theirs alone, you know, it's wrong. You know, that's just our own misconception.
It's that old energy. It's that old fearful energy. You know, that old...
I'll lose it or it'll all dry up.
It's my oil, not yours, you know.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of oil for everybody.
There's oil, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't see it that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of sunlight. You know, there's plenty of air. You know, I mean, we do have to take care of things for our survival, you know, for the better of, you know, humanity, or we will perish. You know, and those are the visions I had, you know, when I was at Ash Cave, that, you know, we're on a collision course
with
of self-destruction.
What
yeah.
we've done in the past.
Yeah, because the collapse of, you know, when you take something out, you know, you don't put it back with something. Something will take its place, but it may not be the proper thing, you know. It's a good example, like in California, they took the trees out off the hills, you know, in the mountains, ranges,
and
the mudslides came. Because
fire.
They didn't put anything back.
And all the things we suck out of the earth, where do you think these sinkholes are coming from?
Absolutely.
There's a void there, the vacuum, you know.
You know, and of course, it will absorb whatever is around it and try to fill it up with it.
People are collapsing in on each other.
We've all had visions, you know, and we'll talk about them in our time in their own way, you know, but that's moving out there, you know, people are becoming more in tune. I wrote a little something about how the weather forecasting is kind of like that, you know. We have so much, too many tools now to see storms coming, but
yeah.
back then you were like, oh, there's a storm, you know, it's like, I'm scared of it, you know, or I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, it takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Used to be mesmerized by storms, you know, oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
Like you were saying in your blog there.
Yeah.
And Weather Deblar says that there's a storm coming for the next 7 days. For the next 30 days, we have the weather planned out for you.
It's
because
a good thing we can't control weather either, because we just make it very bland. Or we
oh, my God.
It all up, you know?
Today, we will have sunshine.
But here in Ohio, the weather could change at any time and
right.
prove the meteorologist wrong,
right.
which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I mean,
they get all excited about it. Ooh, it's a polar vortex. It's 30 below.
What the heck is a polar vortex, man?
It's bitterly cold outside. It's like, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
We get these little pop-up showers here and there in Ohio.
Yeah, we do.
And
yeah.
I've noticed down in Atlanta, Georgia area, they get that too. There's like the one little cloud in the sky, and it's raining right in that little, you can see it from miles away. It's raining in that one little spot. Then you kid through it, your car will get wet, and then you'll come out of that one little cloud.
It's raining in Fifth Avenue.
Usually it's about this one guy who's really depressed. Hey, don't come over here, man.
Yeah, keep your cloud over there. Get your wet stuff over there. That's funny. Oh, you guys are hilarious.
But it's like that here.
Yeah.
And down there, too, it could be like that. It's so funny. It's like, you know, it's almost like those old biblical stories where one cloud the size of a fist, there's that old story, popped up over ground that needed to be rained on. So, and then the natives used to do that too. They used to pray and dance for, and then a little cloud out of nowhere, a spirit would bring them a cloud to rain over their crops so they can have crops. So.
I know when we drum, the sun comes out.
Yeah, every time we drum when it's raining like that.
Maybe if we turn ourselves backwards, we get rain. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe drum backwards.
We laugh, but these things are true.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's true. And we almost take it for granted now. I mean, you know, when we see things in our pictures or, you know, we have things like that happen, it's like, there we go again. You know, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know if it's for granted.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
It's the norm now.
Yeah, for us,
we're
like...
We're surprised when it doesn't happen.
But I get really upset when people don't get excited about when we see things.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so not used... It's not in their...
They don't have the eyes.
They don't have the eyes for it.
Yeah.
But we see a lot of miracles.
Yeah,
we see a lot of cool stuff, man.
Even among people, when they're laying around that drum, I mean, you could just see and feel the energy and the release. Wow. It's so important what we're doing, but it's so fun at the same time.
Yeah.
It's so natural, you know, and I love it.
Yeah. I love
you guys, man.
Oh.
Okay.
Miracles, daily miracles should be the norm, not the exception. You know, you should expect it. Expect a miracle every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something to happen that's out of the ordinary, that's out of the normal, that's just, spirit will surprise you. And we do say that sometimes when we sage and bless people, and may you be surprised.
In the name of the highest purpose you serve.
Yes.
You know, what's funny is at GV's graduation, there was a, the students actually got to do a lot of the talking versus the administration. They used their blabbergap and their mouth around it.
Yeah.
This year they let the kids talk because it was really a talented group of kids. There was one girl, she was talking about the stars. She goes, it's about someone, some writer wrote this, so I can't really tell you who wrote it, but you might remember. But they talk about the stars coming out once every 100 years or something like that. There's no stars, but when the stars come out, you know, they're every 100 years, everybody's mesmerized by them.
Exactly.
But since they're there every day, no one really pays attention to them.
Right.
So it's kind of like what you were saying, you know, the miracles. And
yeah, and we walk with our heads down, we don't look up, we don't appreciate, you know. And, lately I've been doing that every morning. I've been going out and I've been giving prayers in four directions, really feeling it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really grateful to be here. I really appreciate your presence in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's deepens your experience so much when you have gratitude.
Mm-hmm. It does. I wrote on my Facebook page not too long ago, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, "Good Lord, it's morning," or do you say, "Thank you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
it's morning. Thank mm-hmm. you for another day."
Right.
So do you complain that it's morning, or do you give thanks that it's morning?
Are you looking at all the stuff you think, you know, the burdens you think you have to bear, or are you going, "I'm just glad I have hands and eyes and this body and what's been provided to me, you know, what I've been blessed with in my life, you know?" That's
powerful.
More than enough.
Yeah, I usually wake up, I say, "Thank you for this day because I'm alive and I have one more breath. I'm breathing. I've been blessed for another day."
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to not be like that. I used to be like everybody, you know. Just wake up, it's Monday. You're wearing blue again. It's Monday.
Monday can be beautiful.
No, it's beautiful.
It's Monday again.
You know, I'm sure people who are really wealthy, probably every day's a weekend for them to some degree. You know, they probably see life a lot different. It's, you know, when you don't have, or you without, or you think you're without, let's put it that way, if you live in those realms where you're not feeling, you know, that you're worthy of some sort, it could be really hard.
Yeah.
It could be really hard. Oh, God, I could go to work.
Right.
Oh, God, this, you know, I don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of friends, you know, that we know who are really suffering right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I send love and prayers to them that they find their way because... You know, I mean, they're highly educated people.
It's hard, yeah, and they.
And
I mean,
and you know some too.
You sure?
You know, and you do too.
Isn't that the norm? Is like, well, you go to college, you get a good job, but that's not true anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? It puts my mind in a weird place because then what do we do? You know, how do we all survive? How do we go into this world now? Even a guy who has more education than me, who's brainiac-y or smarter than me, you know, smarter. You know, on books and paper, you know, he can't even find a job. If he can't find a job, well, what am I doing? I mean, it forces us to be very creative.
Yeah. So much competition, you know, for mm-hmm. those few jobs that are still left, you know, that are at that level. You know, there's more jobs down here, you know, in the service area, but for those jobs, there's so much competition. And I don't want to get caught up in that. We all are here to be ourselves, you know. We're unique. And we have unique gifts to offer. Not putting ourselves in, you know, in molds and patterns and,
mm-hmm.
you know, forcing ourselves to be a certain way, you know. There can't be, you know, 100 people for the same job.
It's like lawyers. They say America has the highest rate of lawyers in the world.
Right.
Everybody wants to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, but
case
I mean...
after ambulance.
And even they have a hard time, you know, making it sometimes because it's not like... It's a business, you know. They just throw it out there.
But how many shamans do they have?
They have six.
Six, okay. So,
six in this house, man.
And I'm one of those people, I can't live in a cute farm. You know, get up every day, clock in at 9 o'clock or and then 15-minute break somewhere around 11, 10:30.
You can't go to the bathroom again. You've gone
12:30 lunch.
Ago. Yeah.
And then another 15-minute break at 3, and then can't wait, just counting down the out time.
That's
so 5:30 comes.
My 9-to-5 job is like
that. Yeah, and Susie works 12-hour days, and sometimes they have to skip her break because or her lunch because a client will overlap.
Yeah.
So it's not like she can take one. So sometimes she'll work straight through.
On our feet all day, too. So.
Yeah, work can be a bondage, you know, or it can be a blessing. It can be happy. You know, do what you want to do.
Yes. And I've worked for a major bank corporation. I did 10 years for a major bank corporation, and I liked the job I did, but it made me literally ill. Somehow along the way, I got leukemia, adult onset leukemia, and I just had to, and that ended up having me to quit. And they left it open for me to come back, but I never went back.
Yeah.
After I was well. And I've never went back to the cube farm.
Down on the cube farm.
Down on the cube farm.
Yeah, we grew them under fluorescent lights down there. Y'all. You know, so that's my attitude lately towards work has been, you know, you're not the boss of me. I work for Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit's always provided for me. So if you don't like what I'm doing or I don't like what you're being here, I'm bye-bye, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find something else, you know. It's not worth what you're paying me for me to surrender myself to you in that way, you know.
Right.
And I think that attitude just kind of comes through. Like, you know, oh, that's David again. He's just step by. He's being David, man.
Give him his bone right now. Here, David. Here's your candy bar. Here's your Snickers.
It's like my boss comes up, you know, and I work in a call center kind of environment. You know, we do help desk stuff, and it's like, well, you know, your call handle time is really up there, David. We'd like to see that come down. I said, yeah, I know you would, but that's not going to happen.
You like to give good customer service.
Realistically, it's not going to happen. You know, and I can't predict what the next call is going to be. It could be an hour long. It could be 10 minutes long. And I don't compare myself against numbers against other people, you know. That just goes totally contrary to what they're used to, you know, but so they'll just have to deal with it.
No, you're setting up the norm, you know, you're setting up a new precedent that, you know, people are important. They're not just a number anymore, you know, and we need to change that a little bit, you know, because we're not cattle, you know, we're not animals. We're individual people as every fish on the ocean. They're just as unique as we are, but we don't see it like that anymore. It's we become so numb. And you know, I remember when I would work, you know, in the restaurant, you know, and you know, you want people to come in and eat and support your business. But, you know, I remember when, like, Dad would say, oh, yeah, you can be, this is a gold mine, you know. And I'm going, well, I'm not a very good prospector, you know. I'm not a very good miner here because right now I'm not feeling good about, you know, digging into somebody's wallet, you know, like in that fashion. You know, I mean, there's things you have to do. When you're in a certain type of business, you have to be, you have to sell, and you have to promote, and you have to, you know, give, and you have to, you know, play the roles that, you know, in the restaurant business, you have to be a lot of things to a lot of people. When you talk about just being a clown or a shaman, you know, that's one thing, but being a politician, being a psychologist, being a bartender, being the waiter, being the sports
staff.
Yeah. I mean, that was tough. That was tough for somebody who, it's more like a setup guy, you know. I'm kind of like a good, you know, give you a good playbook, and then we use it.
Yeah.
You guys use it, you know.
Right. You kind of let them lead themselves almost, you know.
In the business I was in, I had to be everything because it was, number one, it was a family business and it was a small business. And it was hard on me. It was tough. I miss it yearly, but, you know, but still, I understand that, you know, there is something bigger for me to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming very clear every day as I do it. And every day I don't feel so bad about not being there because it's not where I need to be because I would be there.
Right.
You know, in my opinion, I would be there. That's when you'd be where you're supposed to be, you know?
Well, in this country, there's no career track for somebody who feels spiritually led or wants to, you know, beyond the traditional, like, minister and all those things, you know. You don't identify children early on who are extra sensitive and, you know, want to, you know, be out in nature and connect with animals, and, you know, these kind of kids are kind of looked at as weird and told to toughen up, you know, and suck it up, and, you know, we're losing a lot of value that way, that those people could add to society, you know. They end up stunted and sick and, you know, psychologically ill, you know.
You know, and I really don't know what direction we're going right now, because it's not just here. It's global. It's everywhere. It's not just in America. I mean, but other people have it so bad that they actually have to fight their government. They have to protest them. They actually have to
lay down their life first.
Yeah.
In front of a gun, you know.
To have food.
Yeah.
To have the basic, you know, necessities. And then these countries are not, like, poor countries. These are fairly rich countries, too.
Yeah.
These are well-established countries, you know. And so it's like to see that, you know, where's that breaking point? And I'm not being negative when I'm talking about this, but we also have to be aware of what's happening, because people are going to come to us, people are going to ask us. We don't know what our roles are going to be tomorrow. We may be asked to lead, you know, something that we need to be understand. We don't know why we're, you know, Spirit has led us in the path we have.
Can't see around the corner sometimes.
Yeah, well, we have visions and forecasts for things that, you know, that we see may happen, but sometimes we can't see what's in front of us, what we're called to do in the sense of that moment. So I try to be ready as much as I can, because it might be that kid who, you know, is planning on doing something stupid, you know, whatever that may be, you know, or
right.
Somebody who's so excited they just need someone to tell. You know, our words, you know, someone put on my Facebook, you know, which is something that I was taught, that every word was a prayer. When you speak words, they mean something.
Yes.
You know, when you say words, they're associated with power. They're associated with energy.
Blessing and cursing is in the mouth.
And, you know, that's not... You know, there's words that I don't like when I hear them, you know, so it's like, you know, why do you say that? You know, because we've associated so much power behind certain words, and it hurts people when they hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granted, you can be angry, but there's a way to be angry. You know, there's a way to fight fair for me.
Right.
Versus even if they can't, I know I should fight fair. Unless my life's in danger or whatever, then we fight differently. But,
right, yeah.
But, you know, when you know that, you know, there's a conversation and you can change the outcome of the conversation. And see, that's the thing where we're at. I feel that we're at. Like, if there's a situation, now we have tapped into something that's been gifted to us that we've always had, but now we see it. But if there is a situation, we know how to move,
right.
Maneuver.
Yeah,
through
we'll
it.
Be acting out of fear or the ego as
right.
much as we will. With the bigger view and what's, you know, what's going on in that person or that group that we can connect with. And
right.
Transform that.
You know, I mean, we do things apart, we do things together. And for some people, they always think that we should be together.
Yeah.
But that's not always possible,
no.
You know? I mean, you know, you have to do what,
you've
you know...
You've got individual lessons to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so do they.
And we bring it back, we're stronger together that way, too.
And then when we come back, like you said, we're stronger together, we share. And we collaborate, and we become, you know, Voltron.
I want to be the shoulders.
All right, I'll be the arms. Katie will be the base, he'll be the legs. But, you know, I mean, that's something that I've been learning in my path and observing, you know, just by watching. You know, I know that I'm never going to get it right. I get that. But I know that at least I have a little bit more control than I thought I did. That I have a little bit more of, you know, a way to change that. You know, kind of like, for example, this is an extreme example. David and I went to go to Hocking Hills one day. We were at Starbucks. And this is different. And I was joking around. I've done this before, and it's worked. You know, something screwed up in the order or whatever, and the guy's having a... You know, this is not the first time this has happened. And the guy goes, oh, you know, I'm like, I guess it's free, huh? And he goes, yeah, I guess so. You know, just something, you know, just like that, you know.
Yeah.
And he gave us the coffees, you know. I mean, he was like, that was not my intention. But I'm not going to take away his gift either. You know, because if I said, no, I'll pay for it, you know, that also may say...
You kind of cut the flow off.
Yeah, because maybe that was something he needed to do. That's why he's... And maybe the rest of his day is better, you know? It's not about being stingy or being cheap and you know, I wanted to take advantage of that.
For nothing.
Yeah, that was never my intention. That's not the intention I drove up to the window with. You know, he felt that something had to be given, you know, because somewhere deep down, I feel deep down inside him, you know, he didn't give something, so this was an opportunity for him to give, you know.
Right.
And I wasn't going to go, oh, no, you know. Because he felt better giving it to us versus, you know.
It's a flow of blessing.
Yeah, and he felt, I could tell in his eyes that he felt very comfortable with his decision. And that's not the first time. You've had situations, I've had situations.
I've had situations.
Because
sometimes you have to let people give in order for them to be able to receive, and it
mm-hmm.
just keeps the flow going. I used to be one of those people that gave and gave and gave, and when people wanted to give to me, I'd say, oh, no, and then I was taught that you're not
completing the
circle, because
mm-hmm.
that person cannot be blessed unless you receive from them and take their blessing. Then someone's able to bless them, and they can receive. So as long as you keep the flow going, you're receiving, and then you're giving something in return, and it keeps the flow of blessing going. Because how can you be blessed if you're not giving, and how can that person be blessed if they're not giving? And it keeps the system of blessing feel like it's the law of the universal law of sowing and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
And some people call it karma also. So whatever you give, you receive also.
Yeah.
So you want to keep the positive flow going, because positive always equals positive.
I get a lot of coffee. No, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
But don't give in a negative way, because negatives only produce
right.
negative results.
Yeah, and giving in a negative way might be an example of giving, expecting something back. You know?
Right, right.
You know, like, I'm going to get something out of this. You know, it's going to work out for me in the long run. You really cut your own blessing off that way.
Yeah, never give with an expectancy, you know, with the wrong intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say don't give without an expectancy to receive. You will receive in some kind of way, but don't do the negative.
What is it that Jesus said about he was watching the people give at the temple, you know, and there's the rich man giving, you know, and it's all very ceremonial and very open about it. And I'm giving all of this money. Does everyone see me? And then the widow comes along with her little bit, you know, and nobody notices her. She puts it in there, and he says, she surely gave more than he did and will receive more.
Because she gave out of her need, not out of what she already had.
Yeah, yeah. She had faith. You know, she completed that circuit, you know. So, yeah, it's a principle. It's a universal law. It's the law of spirit.
Yep.
We're tapping into that. Just because our consciousness is raising a little bit, you know. We're starting to see it.
And that law, why it's a universal law, is because it's in every religion, every culture, every teaching there is under the sun. And there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. No, there's not. There's been three Shimuns before us.
Did you ever do this?
Probably worse if I went.
So do we have any in the chat room that wants to ask a question or
respond? No, we've had people kind of pop in and out. So, but you
are
know,
we talking too much? They want to ask.
Sometimes spirit just says, you know what, we need to talk about these things, so if someone can download it later and listen to what we had to say,
because
it's important, you know. I mean, there's tons of things we could talk about.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, like you said, we're open to, you know, where the flow takes us sometimes.
Yeah. I'm thinking with this radio show, sometimes it almost feels like you're out in the wilderness just kind of talking to yourself, or, you know, you're hoping somebody's out there listening and getting something from it. But that's like John the Baptist, you know, he's out there in the wilderness, you know, just doing his thing, just speaking his truth, you know.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon people heard this guy out there that's, you know, he's not like everybody else. He's saying something, you know, so pretty soon he had a big, you know, following.
You know, even Jesus was baptized by John
the
Baptist, so.
Yeah.
We're getting our Bible on today, aren't we?
That's right.
But there's truth everywhere, you know.
Truth is everywhere, yes, absolutely.
That's right.
We have a mixture and eclectic type of spirituality, which is good. We could come from any direction.
Right.
It's whatever floats. Down.
You know, a lot of it, we use a lot of these terms, and we use a lot of these examples just because that's kind of our base, where we were raised, you know,
right.
how we came from. So it's not like just throwing that out of our butt, you know.
Right.
We have some factual understanding that this is how we were raised. And there's other people who were raised different. But we don't come here to dictate. We're just here to share how we see the world through our eyes, you know, and they may not side with yours. And it may be something new, and it may be something fascinating.
Maybe
so.
They never looked at it like that.
Yeah.
We come across a lot of people who've been damaged by organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that woman that was speaking to you, Katie, was one of them. You know, she'd gone through some really strict, dogmatic, judgmental kind of, philosophic patterns and religions. And, you know, it damages you. You know, and then you don't trust. You don't open up again when you hear something. Or maybe that little word triggers you. That reference triggers something in you that is negative. But there's a lot of healing of that kind too.
And then there are folks who really need to be directed and guided and shown the way and shown the light and shown the darkness too, because you have to see the dark. You have to walk through the dark.
Yeah, how will you perceive the difference, the discernment, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, the night comes and the day comes and they change sides every day, you know?
Sure.
So it's important for us to understand that as well. And that's one of those big things that I found working with a lot of practitioners, that some people are really extremists. You know, there's extremists in our business.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. There's people who are very extremists about, love and light. And,
right.
You know,
you can't, I wouldn't even allow those words to be spoken or that energy to come into my presence, you know. Well,
I get
you know,
that.
There's nothing in the dark to be afraid of that's not there in the daytime, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's caution is good, you know, protection, possibly. But absolute fear and rejection like that, you're rejecting half of the universe that way, you know?
Right, because the stars come out at night, and they're out during the day, too.
Right. Yeah, you know?
People don't realize
just
that.
It's like the song, Don't Fear the Reaper. I mean, why should you fear something...
That's part of life.
That's part of life,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
There's a lot of songs and different things I grew up with that I enjoyed listening to, but my family said, oh, they're sinful, you shouldn't listen to that music, da-da-da-da-da. But I connected with that. Even though I grew up in a very religious, God-centered family, there's stuff I connected with, and I connect with both light and dark, and I've experienced both light and dark, and it's just a part of life.
There's messages in both.
There's
you know?
The yin and the yang, you know? You see the little yin-yang symbol.
Yeah, and even within the yin-yang, it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah,
it keeps
yeah, it's like a fractal.
Yeah,
down, down, down.
It goes down. Mm-hmm.
As long as you know balance.
We're all part dark and part light. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could be light walking in the dark.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
And we could be the dark in the light as well. So, I mean...
Or we could be 50 shades of gray.
50 shades of gray, yeah. That is true. That's a good point. But, you know, it took us a while to understand that, too.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while to understand that, you know, because I was like, am I a good person, bad person, you know?
Right.
You know, because that was important to me to be a good human, you know,
sure,
to
sure.
do things the best I could without hurting others, but especially not hurting myself.
Right. But you're already judging yourself that way, too. You're not allowing yourself to have those days or those moments or those times when you fall. You know?
Yep.
We're going to fall, and we pick ourselves up, and we learn from it. And, you know, we're never not going to fall once in a while, you know. We'd be perfect and wouldn't be here.
Yeah, whatever comes, man. Just gotta get on that surfboard, man.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know, you fall off sometimes.
Yeah.
Get back up.
There's times I've had people try to put me on a pedestal or put me up there. Oh, you're a minister. Oh, you're this, you're
yeah.
that. I want you to be my guru, stuff like that. And I'm like, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't see me that way. I'm good at being prayed, you know, pray for you. I could be your minister, whatnot. But don't ever put me on a pedestal because... You're going to see me, I have a dirty mind. I say a cuss word every now and then. I like to have a beer or a drink or something. I'm down to earth and I'm real.
I'll let you down if you put me
I'm going to burp and fart and all kinds of stuff that's going to not make me holier than thou.
And yeah, folks, so we've heard it and smelled it.
Yeah.
That's gonna keep me a real person, a humble person.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I could preach hellfire and brimstone, but, you know, I'd rather show love and grace and mercy and peace and those things and be a real person than be a preacher, which I've been offered pastorships and rabbiships and different things like that. But I'd rather be one-on-one and work in small groups than be over a congregation of 500 people, because I've had that chance and I turned it down because that wasn't my calling.
Right, it would limit you in what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's like with me, I always try to direct it back to each of us are our teachers, are our gurus, are have something to offer. You know, if something I say or do or you see something in me that you admire, well, you know, there's things in you too. You know, I'm a mirror for you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly nobody extra special that, you know, that glows in the dark or anything like that. You know?
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Well, you know, maybe on occasion. Depends on the situation. But, you know, no, it's just we each have that ability to lead ourselves if we, when the time comes, you know, if we grow that in ourselves, see that.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, the chances of us three actually meeting or coming together, you know, that's that in itself is a miracle, you know. That in itself is something that's really, you know just
given our life paths, you know, you look back and you go, oh, this hadn't happened, or this little thing hadn't gone. We talked about, Superman.
There's fine threads, man. Like someone used to say to me, there's fine threads in life. You know, sometimes a thread breaks, and sometimes you just go one way or the other. Just that little, us sitting here, you know, we change, you know, meetings and appointments with other people, but we make new ones, you know.
Right.
So we're constantly, something's always shifting. that when our spirit and our heart's in the right place and we're moving into that, into those areas and those realms that what we're doing our work, we are attracting people that we may never have attracted.
I think back to Ash Cave and holding ceremony or drumming or doing something there, and the people who just come to see the cave, they're touched, you know, in their own way too, you know, and they take something away from that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they give something to us too, you know, by their presence there with us, you know.
Yes.
It's an exchange.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. And I wonder what goes through their mind, you know, what they're thinking, you know. Not so much anymore, but I used to really was really curious, because you've actually talked with them, and you have talked to people. I never really gone out of my way to go talk to people, because I'm usually dancing or on the ground flipping around or spitting up.
There was a young man there with his parents from India, and he brought him there to see the cave, and his mom just kind of wandered in and out of the drums and mm-hmm. and played the people's drums that were there, and she picked up a flute and started, and she was having such a good time, and I went over and talked to him a little bit to see where they were from and all that, and they really enjoyed themselves, and they were glad that the people around with us at Ash Cave with the drums and stuff, nobody stopped her from playing their drum. Everybody was very friendly and giving, and some ladies even got up and danced with her. She was dancing around, and some of the ladies got up and danced with her, and he was so glad because she didn't even speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
And people were just open and friendly and welcoming. And he spoke good English.
Mm-hmm.
And he was glad that people treated his parents so nice and kindly
mm-hmm.
and allowed them to come and to play in our circle for a little while.
Right. Yeah.
I got to bless some people, too. They got married that day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember I
had no clue that was going to happen that day. You know, I got to bless two people who got married, and I got to see aliens later on in the week through the pictures. You know, but you never know who's there, you know. You never know. And I'm one of those people kind of, you know, my mind kind of goes out there. Were these really human beings who were visiting? You know, who are these people? Because sometimes they walk through there, and they walk through, and they don't even see us. Like, they don't see us. You ever see that?
Yeah.
Like, people just walk by, and like, we're not there, you know. Sometimes I wonder if we're like vortexed our way, shifting in and out of realities, you know. And you know, I know we're definitely leaving an imprint there, not for sure. So,
yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised 100 years from now, or even sooner, that someone goes, "Do you hear those drums?
Yeah,
I hear a crow. You know,
I hear someone singing.
I hear a voice, beautiful voice singing. I hear some guy going, Pachimama. What the hell is that? You
know? I know sometimes when I'm singing, I hear other voices singing along with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you all have ever heard it.
I've had that happen before.
But it's just like, oh, wow, someone else is singing with me. And I look around trying to see who else is singing with me, and I'm sometimes the only one singing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, you just have to give thanks, not be weirded out, but just give thanks for the beautiful heavenly voices that are there along with you.
Right. I always wonder about the ghost hunters who go hunting for ghosts, and then when they find them, they run away. You know, it's like, what were you expecting to find, you know?
Yeah. I think we do a good job of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, we will clear your house.
$50.
No.
Yes.
We do house clearing, though.
Yeah.
You know,
it was funny because I've been asked to do a couple of them by Lori's children, you know,
mm-hmm.
who were completely outside of our circle. But once they found out what I do and saw it, and you know, they asked, "Can you come and bless my room or this house?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the way it happens, because people learn what's possible and they see a different way of doing things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, our time's about to run down here. So, you guys have any closing thoughts? Anything you want to leave us with?
Let ladies go first.
I just say to everyone out there, just be blessed and know that spirit is there waiting and willing for you to connect and
mm-hmm.
Find your destiny, find your path, and just leave you with a blessing.
Right. You're here for a reason. There's a reason why you feel the way you do. You've been gifted with the things you do. Some things you don't even see as a gift,
mm-hmm.
but they are. You're here to be uniquely you. You know, you don't have to be like anyone else. You don't have to think like anyone else. Your whole life is a blank page, and you have all the colors you need to put on there. Put them on the way you want to, you know. look at me, you know, I in my 50s, I started putting on a funny crow suit and dancing around, you know? But it expresses how I feel, you know? And I don't dance for anybody else or anyone else, you know, anything else, but to let spirit move through me, you know? It could be nobody there, and I would still do that, you know, because it's what I connect with, you know? And it took me a long time to find that. So if you're getting discouraged or you feel like you'll never get it, start looking at things a little differently. Let yourself color outside the lines and step outside that box you might have put yourself in. But always remember, shake your rattle.
David, dance your dance.
Oh, they're calling. No, I'm sure.
Hey.
Well, anyhow, I want to thank everybody.
Dave's not here, man.
Were you going to answer? No.
No.
No, that's the call. That's the call to Spirit, guys. Spirit says, you know, we have to get ourselves on track like we do. We're going to get off track sometimes.
Sure.
So that's normal. So don't be surprised by that. There's going to be challenges in front of us. How we work through those challenges is up, you know, it's very important, you know, how it keeps us on our path. You know, one of the important things is knowing sometimes you don't know if you're on your path. Asking that question means that you're on your path. So that's important to remember, too. For those out there who are struggling, we can all be found on Facebook. You know, David Rutland. Is that
David
right?
David Rutland. Two Crows is my spirit name, too. So.
And Katie
Singing
Eagle.
Katie with a C.
And then Iggy Garcia Hoop Watcher. And then IggyGarcia.com as well. And then I can connect you with them if you need. Bella's connecting with David.
Yeah, if you hear grunting and panting, it wasn't me, it was Bella.
All right, with our final scream to Spirit.
Nah!
We're out of here.